Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In its first 10 years, 605 Magazine has grown into a statewide publication. The magazine celebrates our state's arts, food, decor, business, and people. The 605 Summer Classic and 605 Black Hills Classic are a large part of 605 Magazine's commitment to the local music scene. And joining us now to do a little reminiscing over the past 10 years and to provide a look ahead, we have Alana Snyder. She is publisher of 605 Magazine, and John Snyder, director of sales and marketing. Alana, John, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks. And we are married, just in case we do any of that awkward bickering on the air.
Okay, right, good to know.
Out of the gate.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so take us back a short decade or so.
Yes.
And tell us how this was born.
Do you want to go, John, or who?
Ill-advised might be a word that right. comes. It was 2008. The recession was crashing everything. And we said, hey, let's start a business.
Right. Internet is booming. Economy is crashing. Not only let's start a business, but hey, let's start a print magazine.
Exactly.
In our community.
It's like right when everyone's saying print is dead, let's just start something new. I was only 23, which was crazy. I had just pretty much graduated from the University of South Dakota. And I was just trying to figure out what to do. I majored in print journalism, which, again, you think people would raise an eyebrow at in 2008. But I wanted to use my degree, and John and I had been brainstorming for a while. And it's kind of a combination of a lot of people were leaving the area, and people kept complaining that there wasn't much to do. But I was hearing about things happening, but no one was really talking about them. So we wanted something for a place to talk about those events happening. And also there's nothing for a demographic, which I thought was huge. And that was a big part that was missing. And I think why no one was connecting to anything.
Yeah, it was, it seemed like there was a positivity, like, you would hear stuff about the younger demographics, but it would be generally when they would, like egg someone's house or do something, it would be bad. It
right.
would be like you'd make the news younger, but you wouldn't hear a lot of positive stuff. And there were a lot of up and coming bands and artists.
The music scene was huge then.
Yeah. And we wanted to try and do something positive, basically.
Are you already married in a relationship at this point, or did the magazine throw you together?
We were dating.
So it's such a personal question. I just threw it in unexpectedly,
problem.
But I must know. No.
We were dating. We were like in a townhouse when we like literally drew. We took a pencil and drew the first issue out in a binder. And we had a couple fake articles that we were going to show people. People were much nicer than they should have been when I presented that to them. But then we got engaged the night before the ribbon cutting when we were official.
You were all kinds of throwing the future at the wall and saying, this is going to work. This
yeah.
is gonna
yeah. There were quite a few reasons that this should not have worked. Our original design was a little rough around the edges. But we were young and people gave us a chance to grow and get better.
And one of the things that I think, I don't know if you feel this way, but this whole notion of 605 being an identifier for who we are mm-hmm. as an area code, I think you guys invented that around here because it was after that every, artisan and craftsperson started putting, I'm going to stencil this on a pillow or I'm going to, name my next business after that. I think it has become increasingly popular after 605 Magazine sort of set the ground.
You.
But I'm not sure if I'm right about that. That's
okay.
my perception.
So I've heard that before, and I just assumed that it wasn't us. I did go on like the Secretary of State's website, and I think we're the oldest active DBA or trademark that I can find.
Yeah. Well, it was so new that when I would approach people constantly asked us, what does the 605 Why? Stand for? And I would stare at them and and they're like, oh, the area code.
And I remember thinking that, and that's why it stuck in my mind, because I remember thinking, why is it? Oh, of course, and then you had to
right.
process it for a minute because it wasn't written on everything at that point. It was just sort of, something that you didn't see as significant identifier of identity.
Right.
Well, it
Which
wasn't
was,
even...
I heard, though, there were some people that were, like, in the underground music scene and stuff. People had been, like, kind of grassroots using that as, like, their like, kind of hangout, like, the 605 house and stuff like that. But we didn't find out about that till later on. And I think it's just, it kind of carried out. And then when we started doing it, then the whole state kind of spread with that becoming, yeah, part of our identity as a state, which has been really cool.
So one of the things about launching a magazine that becomes successful, and I'm a magazine geek, like I subscribe to more magazines and buy more magazines than anybody really has a right to do so, because I love this, I love this form. I always have. I studied magazine journalism in college.
Awesome.
No, I knew I liked you.
The magazine has to have value to different readers at different times. It has to not suck visually. Yeah. Right. It has to have a strong design. It has to have content. There's a lot happening for a magazine to make it for 10 years. You found a formula that works. Tell me a little bit about some of those early, like you knew this was essential. This was you're going to have to be able to get this or you weren't going to have a magazine. What were some of the, you know, have-tos?
Content was probably king. We like everyone else's publications too, but I think at different times, different other publications don't really put as much into that side of things. And that's always been something we've said we'll never do. We don't want it to just be like an ad vehicle or because if you're not reading it, then the whole thing is just a wash. Then no one's picking it up and spending time and identifying with different articles throughout the year and different formats and different,
Yeah, and our demographic can see kind of right through that stuff. So we knew, you know, with our demo, we really needed to take the time and build unique content and do a lot of it, not just like have a couple articles. Like we try to fill the pages with, and now even like we've grown so much with the statewide content, we're constantly just hustling and traveling and getting out there and talking to people. And but the thing is like the people behind the stories have been the number one thing and that why people connect with it so much, I think.
Right.
I have people that think I live in Rapid City. Because we're there so much.
Because you're there so often. Let's talk about that expansion, you know, from a print perspective and also from the music perspective with the 605 Black Hills Classic. How did that sort of, when did you know that it was the right time to make sure that you were a statewide publication?
It's always what we wanted to do. There's, and it's fun, the East River, West River, you know, t-shirts and all the, you know, we all joke about it. But what it really comes down to is, there, you know, we're a one big state separated by a whole lot of space, and if we can help bring that together, the only way we could really do that is if we were able to cover, you know, all the different sides of the state. And to do that, we had to also kind of distribute, I think.
Distribution was the hardest part. Mm-hmm.
And we kind of have to this point always done that ourselves. So we have some friends and co-workers now all over the state, and then we, you know, when the magazines get here, they go out like a firecracker, and then they pick those ones up, and then they go and do the distribution, kind of like a little hub, like a wheel.
How many years though was it until we finally decided to spread out there? Was that like 6 years ago?
It was like our third year, so coming up on seven. And we picked up, we went out there and had a semi-chili original. because at that point we hadn't had the opportunity to really cover the west side of the state. So people felt like, oh, I don't know what this is. And, you know, what are you doing here? And, but it's been.
And free publications aren't as large there.
Yeah, they're physically
smaller. Sioux Falls has a big following for free publications, but
There's less, and they're actually physically smaller. I think they're made to like fit in like purses and bags
or your pocket
and,
or something like that. Yeah.
So when it's become our readership out there has become really strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been really neat. The Black Hills in general have just been booming in the last couple of years, I feel like. And I've talked to people that because of our content, people have actually created like scrapbooks of like where I'm going to go when I go to the Black Hills now. I've had people come up and thank us because they have relatives out there. And they're like, oh, I never know where to go. I never know where to eat. And it's been really neat. And just the characters that we've met out in the Black Hills are some of my favorite, I think. Like we just met the lady who started the Alpine Inn. This adorable
Wally.
Yes, she's the best.
Oh, she's so sweet. And she's like so quintessential, like German. And I can say this because I'm German. And she's just like, she's stern, but like sweet. And she makes the best potato salad. And
made us eat like all of it and was mad when we didn't finish it.
Yeah, she gave us this side eye. She's like, you're not going to finish?
I've eaten some potato salad at the Alpine, and so I can tell you from experience.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you hear too? They started Flight in Deadwood. And now it's like Alpine Inn, but they have a flight of like your favorite stuff from Alpine Inn.
I have not heard.
And then
that.
It turns into a club at night. Just saying, it's new. It's new, but you can get a little taste of Alpine Inn now.
You get your finger on the pulse of what's new, and that's another thing. When you think about 10 years in, you have to, because what made it successful in the beginning was that it was fresh,
right?
And everybody was talking about it. How do you stay fresh after 10 years?
That was one of my big worries, and I think I said that before we started. I said, what happens when we run out of stuff to write about? You just assume that's going to happen. But what you don't realize is how much new stuff is happening all the time. And
you never wondered that, did you?
Of course
you
not.
You never run out of stories
exactly.
to tell, do you?
I just assumed at some point we would tell all the stories. But there's more stories popping up faster than we can cover them. And that's, you know, I'm sure you guys deal with that a lot too.
Right,
there's
yeah.
just so much cool stuff going on in our state.
As you're doing a story, you find out about two more stories, and you know, you go every time we go to the Black Hills, oh, you got to get to Keystone, or this new place is opening up, and it's like you're almost running out of time, so you have to find a way to schedule future trips and ways to get that content, because
they're like, there's a new restaurant in Spearfish, and you go up there and then you find out about another thing, and then
and sometimes we allot time for that. So, like, literally, we'll be hour to hour just doing stuff. And then, I mean, it sounds like a stupid thing to whine about, but then we, like, have to keep eating and drinking and taking photos of it.
It's the worst.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago about sort of this, you know, having fun with this East River, West River, you know, sort of rivalry or divide, or what's the best side of the state. And, you know, as a statewide broadcasting organization, we often tease each other, you know, those of us who are living here or living there. But this is also a magazine that brings people together as well, because as you flip through this and find out what's happening in your community, you are at the same time seeing something that's happening in a community that maybe you've never been to. Have you right. gotten feedback about that, in the sense that, you know, it can be a sort of a fun look at how we're different, but really it's more about how we're alike?
I think it's been a great tool, and for the West River, East River thing, I can't, because I have family there in the West River, and then I've grown up here. So I've always, that's my number one thing, is to always just make people feel like, that's why we have, I mean, why not? You have one area code, like, you know, we're all the same.
Well, why can't you enjoy the differences? And
embrace them.
Yeah. And not have it be like a weird competition, because there's a lot of cooler things in Sioux Falls, and there's a lot of cooler things across all the Black Hills. Like, they both have their unique benefits. And
a whole lot of places in between.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Like yeah.
North, south, southeast. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to be in Pierre tomorrow, and Platte also tomorrow. And both of those communities are super fun. And we've learned a lot of things going there and meeting fun people, like small little, like Stagecoach, the art gallery in Platte, where that's been a really fun place to get to know, and like seeing all the small artists.
Well,
in the area.
The thing too is that a lot of people in South Dakota do like to travel to all the small towns. That's one thing I've really found out, because we do our annual road trip, and last year we stopped in Platte, and the town of Platte, because of course it's so small, they actually had, like, they knew when people came to town because of the story, to like make their stop there and go to the ice cream shop and all the different places that we kind of featured.
And when our story came out, they were able to track it just by an organic. It was pretty cool.
Right. So it's neat to see people kind of do the same trips we're doing, and or I'll get texts saying, hey, I went to this brewery, you know, like the Mount Rushmore Brewing Company in Custer, because they found out about it. So it's just really neat how often, I mean, people in South Dakota, they love the road trip, you know?
Or like up in Watertown, like Dempsey's has been amazing, and makes probably some of the best pizza in the state. And like, I didn't know about that until we started kind of going up there and working with them and working with Watertown. And just
next 10 years, what's coming up for it? Look into the future a little bit, and you're all in still at this point. What are you looking forward to?
Well, we hope to keep just becoming a better publication. you know, filling in the gaps where we're not able to physically distribute right now just by manpower. This past year, we've launched a native iOS and Android app, and that's free, and that's been really cool. People have been utilizing that. We've actually been seeing a lot more people from out of state, tourists basically, utilizing the digital version of our magazine, which is also free, to kind of see what South Dakotans are doing, like, authentically. So that's not a demographic we ever thought we'd hit. I mean,
I'd love to just keep growing distribution, be more of a guide. We want more outdoor racks so people can easily access it. We've really tried to grow in multiple ways with the design and everything, so keep growing that way. We're getting more into photography and video and having that kind of complement what we're already doing, and maybe some marketing there. Maybe some more 605 type publications, maybe. You know, you never know.
That sounds like a hint for something. Maybe. 605 Magazine, the 10-year anniversary issue is on stands now. Alana and John Snyder, thank you so much for being here. Come back anytime.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Lori.